wake up, put your shoes on, take a breath of the northern air, and rub those eyes.
Brett Favre says that Aaron Rodgers is probably done in Green Bay. Brett Favre probably, at least for this time, knows what he's talking about. Let's get into the Vikings draft, the Packers predicament, and other stuff from around the NFL, because this is Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider with Jeff Diamond, the former Vikings general manager, former NFL executive of the year, former president of the Tennessee Titans. He's run drafts before. He knows what this looks like. He also has great experience watching the Green Bay Packers operate. We're also going to talk about Rashad Bateman being drafted by the Ravens, which is one of the two places I thought he should end up. This is part of the TalkNorth.com podcast network. You can find all of our shows, including the Viking Update show, at TalkNorth.com. You can subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It's free. It's an easy way to listen. Or you can follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod. See all the shows as they are released. Thanks to our producer, Brandon Morton. And thanks to our longtime sponsor, White Bear Lake Superstar. All right, Jeff, where do you want to start? You want to start with the Rodgers drama, the Vikings pick? What's on your mind?
Well, I think probably we should start with the Vikings and talk about their draft, which looks pretty promising on paper, but as we, of course, know, you have to see how it pans out. And the first thing I always caution, as you and I have talked often about, is grading a draft immediately afterwards is ridiculous, that it truly takes 3 years to know how good a player is or how good a draft has turned out. And very rarely do you know in year one. Occasionally, such as a Randy Moss, we knew right away. Or last year with Justin Jefferson, it appears that that's a home run pick, obviously. But even with a great first year for a rookie, it can turn into a poor follow-up due to injury or due to poor performance. And I remember players such as Vince Young in Tennessee and RG3 in Washington, rookie of the years, who 2 or 3 years later are basically out of the league and things are not panning out. Either for Young, it was due to poor work habits. For RG3, it was bad injuries. But this draft really does look very promising to me right now. But, of course, time will tell. And I think that you could say Christian Darrisaw is a guy who fits a need, certainly. And going into the draft, it was pretty obvious the need number one was the offensive line, that offensive tackle spot. And they find a guy that can plug right in at left tackle. I think the thing that excites me is that it appears talent-wise that now they can line up, and I'm saying this on the premise that Wyatt Davis, the third-round pick, who I really liked and liked that pick as a tough guy in the middle who can take on some of the really good nose tackles physically. Now he's got some work to do in terms of his mobility and some other things, but I think he has the potential to be a really good offensive guard. And so all of a sudden, if you figure you got potential bookend tackles in Darrisaw, and again, he's got to come on, he's a rookie, but Darrisaw and O'Neal, and then you got a pair of seemingly good guards in Ezra Cleveland, last year's number two, and now Wyatt Davis, and then Bradbury at center. And again, even with Bradbury, there's still the caveat that he has to improve, that he's been up and down in his first 2 years and has not established himself as a clear-cut future Pro Bowl center or anything like that. And so, but I think that I'm excited about the offensive line having talent to work with. And then from there, the Vikings need Rick Dennison, the offensive line coach, highly regarded, to do his work with that group and get them to mesh together. And I think that's exciting from that standpoint. And then I think the other players that they drafted, Kellen Mond is certainly an interesting prospect. I think he sets up a much different dynamic at quarterback in terms of a guy that can be developed for the future, probably not ready to step in right now. But what he could do is come in a fourth quarter or a third quarter if Cousins gets nicked or he's struggling, such as in the Atlanta game last year, and Mond can come in, give you a different look, run around, get some first downs, make some plays, but he has to improve his consistency. I like I like Surratt, the linebacker from North Carolina, the third round pick, very athletic, can step in for Eric Wilson. And a couple of those pass rushers, Patrick Jones and Janarius Robinson, look like they have some real potential as edge rushers. So some good stuff going on. Have to see how it works out.
Well, let's talk about the quarterbacks in the division around the league. That's always where people start. And then we'll get back to some more details about the Vikings draft. Reminder, if you'd like to advertise this show or the network, you can reach former Twins executive Karen Cleary at K-C-L-E-A-R-Y at TalkNorth.com. We've added Lavelle Neal to our baseball show, Chin Music. So it's Roy Smalley and Lavelle Neal on that show. We have some other moves coming that we'll be telling you about soon. And also, I'm doing my own show, Blocked and Muted, with Jim Suhan. This week's guest was Mike Vec. A lot of fun. And that'll be out tomorrow. And we last week's guest was Garrett Bradbury, who was a really good sport and a lot of fun to talk to. So check out all the stuff across the network. So it's hard to wait too long before we get to quarterbacks. The Bears end up with Justin Fields. Courtney Cronin from ESPN is reporting the Vikings were interested in Fields and considered doing something to get him. The Vikings obviously passed on Mac Jones. They could have stayed at 14 and taken him. The Patriots take him. And Aaron Rodgers sounds like he wants out of Green Bay. So let's talk about the quarterbacks in this division and how volatile this situation now seems.
Yeah, definitely. And I thought the Bears made a great move, Ryan Pace, their GM, to move up to get Fields. I think it was in part a desperation move and trying to make up for what's happened in the past with Trubisky. And I really like Justin Fields. I think he needs to improve his consistency too. We've seen him have fantastic games, such as against Clemson in the college football semifinal last year, and then dud games as he did against Northwestern in the Big Ten title game. So he needs to improve his consistency. He's got a good skill set, obviously, and he's got the mobility that you're looking for in a modern-day quarterback. And I think he definitely upgrades the Bears at the position. But how quickly can he come on will be the question. And so, and meanwhile, they've got Dalton, they've got Foles to kind of carry the water for a while. And so, as I said, I thought that was a great move to move up and grab him. I'm not sure how interested the Vikings were. I'm not really sure I buy that, because it really didn't make a lot of sense unless he was the number one quarterback on their board at that point, because realistically, Cousins has to play for two more years under that contract. And it would have really surprised me if they took a quarterback in the first round. I didn't see that happening. They just had too many other needs, especially at that left tackle spot where they got Darrisaw. And I'm going to make one more point on Darrisaw too before we circle back to the quarterbacks. If indeed Elijah Vera Tucker, who the Vikings passed on 14 when they traded down the Jets, and it looks like that was a good trade to pick up those extra two threes, especially if Mond and Wyatt Davis become players, then, and Darrisaw becomes a really good player, then you get three for one on that spot. But if Elijah Vera Tucker becomes a future all-pro, such as a Randall McDaniel, who we drafted number one at offensive guard back in the late 80s, and Darrisaw is just a so-so tackle, then all of a sudden you say, not so good. Okay, having said that, and give that kind of caveat on the Darrisaw pick, back to the quarterbacks. And, yeah, I think the Bears are improved at the position. The Lions, I think they're treading water with Jared Goff. And he's had some good moments in the league, some bad moments in the league. He still was a Super Bowl quarterback. And if they get him the talent around him to help his production, then we can see how he develops. He'll have a great tackle in Sewell, who was the number one tackle for the most part in the draft, he and Slater. But what have they done at receiver? I don't know about that at this point, for weapons for Mr. Goff. The Aaron Rodgers situation, it's pretty obvious to me, Jim, that he's played his last down in Green Bay. And there's just too much stuff going on out there with him. And I think that he's really kind of made the water so muddy in Green Bay, not only with the organization, but with the fan base now, who they want loyalty. This seems very disloyal. And yeah, if he comes back and he's playing great and all that, so be it. I would give him one more year at best, and I don't think he's going to be there this year. I think that the Packers are going to wait to be able to trade him after June 1st or designate it as a June 1st trade and be able to spread that $38 million cap hit over two seasons. And I think that Jordan Love is going to be taking over there. And there already are reports that they're out there trying to sign other quarterbacks and checking out their options because Love is the only quarterback on the roster. This is all good news for the Vikings and for the Bears and the Lions if Aaron Rodgers is out of this division. I just don't see him coming back there. It's just too much has happened. Going back to the NFC Championship game last year and his poor play down the stretch and then the Packers' decision to kick the field goal and the Jordan Love being drafted, everything that's happened, it's a la what happened with Favre and with the Packers in the 80s or back in 2008 and 9. And I don't know how you feel about it. I just can't see him going back there.
I think he's gone. And the interesting thing is, because this is all happening post-draft, there aren't that many teams he can really be traded to. There aren't that many teams that haven't drafted a quarterback that you want to play or don't have a quarterback in place and have cap space and all those other things. I mean, the Broncos are a logical place, but I don't know if there's going to be much of a bidding war because not many teams are in a position to trade for him.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think, yeah, the Packers or the Broncos seem like the logical place, but can the Packers get full value without competition in a trade? And I always felt that was the key to trades back when I was GM of the Vikings and we made a couple of big trades involving kind of disgruntled situations. Gary Zimmerman was one. Chris Dolman was another one. Two Hall of Fame players that I had to deal with. And Zimmerman's situation, because free agency came to the NFL and I had just signed him to an extension and he hadn't played a down under the extension. And so we got into a situation where he just refused to play. And I tried to talk him into it and did all the things the Packers are trying to do, visited with him and his wife, and it was to no avail because his college roommate, Kirk Loudermilk, our center, had signed a free agent deal in Indy for triple what Zimmerman was supposed to make. But I couldn't renegotiate a contract when a guy had not played a down under it. And so ended up trading him to Denver for a first, second, and sixth round pick. I didn't want to trade him, but really had kind of up against it at that point. And the same situation with Dolman when Reggie White got his big deal in Green Bay that more than doubled Dolman's contract. And he's going into he played 2 years on a 5-year deal. And again, had to trade Chris to Atlanta for a first round pick. At that point, Chris was already 30 years old and had probably played his best football with us. But even still, it weakened our team that year when we made the deal and didn't want to have to trade him. But I think that the Packers are kind of in that same boat with Rodgers, even though they've got leverage, yeah, because he's under contract. And I think the rules are more strict today in terms of fining players and so forth. But let's face it, Aaron Rodgers has plenty of money. If he says, I'm going to sit, he could do it.
Yeah.
And it's just a different deal than it was 20 years ago when players weren't making this kind of money, especially a quarterback. So I just don't see him coming back. And I think you're right. I think the competition is very negligible for who's going to be interested in him. And that helps George Payton in Denver to maybe get a better deal.
Yeah. So let's talk about that June 1st date. Let's talk about the Broncos, Cousins, Bateman. But first, let's thank White Bear Lake Superstore, whitebearlakesuperstore.com.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. Always excited to talk about the White Bear Lake Superstore, Buick GMC, and my great friend, the owner, Paul Rubin, his general manager, Charlie Gutrell. They're great staff. Minnesota's number one volume, Buick GMC dealer, 6 years running with the best selection and with their super-friendly premium team. They've got that great website, WhiteBearLakeSuperstore.com. Check it out, and you'll see an offer up to 16% below MSRP on 2021 Buick SUVs. There's a $4,500 purchase allowance plus $250 for current GMC or Buick owners, lessees on 2021 GMC Sierra 1500 crew cab models, plus a $500 bonus if you finance through GM Financial. They've got the fantastic GMC Hummer EV SUV, the all-electric super truck. And check out, again, the White Bear Lake Superstore is the Quigley 4x4 Van Superstore. And they're a certified elite dealer. Only 7% of GM dealers make the cut. So visit in person at 3900 Highway 61 North in White Bear Lake or online at WhiteBearLakeSuperstore.com for all your vehicle needs and the premium experience. Buick GMC, we are professional grade. Shop pre-owned on pre-owned specials on one lot, thousands in savings. The White Bear Lake Superstore.
You mentioned the June 1st deadline. Can you kind of walk us through that, what it means and how that might play out?
Yeah, it's a salary cap mechanism for teams to be able to release players and either designate them as a June 1st cut or release them after June 1st. And then whatever remaining prorated signing bonus, which we call dead money on their cap or future guarantees that's dead money, a team could then spread that hit over 2 years. And for a team such as Green Bay, it would be essential that they do that with Rodgers because of his $38 million of dead money, which I think would be a record in the NFL, even mm-hmm. more than Goff and Stafford had big hits this year, and Wentz had a huge hit to Philadelphia. But as I said, Rodgers' cap number right now is supposed to be $37 million. So if they take on $38 million with a release before June 1st, they'd have to clear another $1 million of room and still be able to add other quarterbacks, other players. It's really not realistic. So I think that if they do trade him after June 1st or designate it as a June 1st trade, then they can spread that cap hit over 2 years. I think it hits maybe $21 million the first year, $17 million the second year, and then he's off the books after 2022. And that way they can pick up about $16 million or $15 million of cap room this year, go out and sign a quarterback. I don't know where they're going to find that quarterback at this stage of the game, but go out and find somebody or maybe trade for somebody to be a kind of a number two quarterback mentor to Jordan Love and then put him in the lineup. But so that's basically how June 1 works for teams. And I think, for example, the Vikings, I believe when they cut Kyle Rudolph, they may have designated him as a June 1 cap hit. So that's the way teams kind of manage their cap a little bit and try to negate the huge hit in the first year.
Got it. Your client at IFA, Rashad Bateman, ends up getting drafted by the Ravens. I really thought he was going to go either the Packers or the Ravens. Of course, the Packers never want to do anything to help Aaron Rodgers' skill position play. So they went with a cornerback, and the Ravens take Rashad Bateman. I think he's going to be a number one receiver there and could really end up turning, you know. I mean, listen, Lamar Jackson's had a spectacular start to his career, but, you know, he hasn't been the most efficient passer. I think Bateman could really help him there.
Oh, I think that's definitely true. And we at IFA are very excited that Rashad went in the first round and very talented player, obviously, for the Gophers and has that great physical ability. I think the fact that he ran under 4.4 was really important, a 36-inch vertical, and all those factors. And I think that convinced the Ravens, who had two first-round picks, and so they were able to address their need at defensive end pass rusher with Owe out of Penn State, and yet also get Rashad with their first rounder. And I think he's a really good fit in Baltimore. And would you like him to go to a passing team like Kansas City? Perhaps, but I think that he's going to be the number one receiver in Baltimore. He's going to get a lot of opportunities. I think the Ravens recognize that in order to grow their offense and take it to potentially a Super Bowl level, that they need more production in the passing game. And I think that Rashad can provide that for Lamar Jackson. And Jackson needs to improve his efficiency. We know that. He needs to take an extra second, take a look downfield instead of taking off and running. And so I think Rashad will give him that opportunity and be that player that can make those tough contested catches, has got the speed to get deep, but also the underneath routes. He's not afraid to run routes in the slot. And so I think, yes, it's a great fit, and very happy he went in the first round.
And I just see him in a situation where safeties are going to be worried about the run, worried about the run pass option, worried about Jackson taking off. I just think he's going to have room.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And we'll see. Hopefully that'll be the case. And I just don't know in that offense if he can be a 100-catch guy necessarily.
Right.
But maybe things can evolve. And as we said, in order for the Ravens to take that next step, they had to improve their passing offense. And they recognized that and made this move. And so hopefully they will dedicate their energies towards that and get the ball to Rashad.
So two more topics today, both Vikings-centric. One about George Payton. The other one about Kellen Mond and Kirk Cousins. If you're the Vikings, you take Kellen Mond. This doesn't feel to me like, oh, let's just get a project and let's get a backup and maybe he'll play somewhere down the road. It feels like a succession plan in place. Do you agree with that, or did they just take a quarterback because they wanted to have a young quarterback?
I think it's possible that he could be the succession plan. I think they're intrigued by him is what my impression is, that his physical ability and what he can bring as an athletic quarterback, a mobile quarterback in this day and age, a la Lamar Jackson, a la Mahomes and Kyler Murray. He's not perhaps as fast as some of those guys, maybe certainly as fast as Mahomes, but he's got that ability, and he has been productive. He's been a starter for several years at A&M, Texas A&M. And so I think that what they're also thinking is he gives us an option off the bench that we really didn't have last year or the past several years with a Sean Mannion or a Simeon. And so I think they like that possibility. I don't buy that they're thinking, oh, we want to put pressure on Kirk. Kirk already knows he's got pressure, and he's also got whatever $100 million in the bank. And so I don't think he's worried about Kellen Mond taking this job necessarily. I think he's more concerned about trying to win and do the best he can. And I just don't see him feeling the heat that some people say. And I think that's a very simplistic look at it. But I think the advantage that he brings from an organizational standpoint, if I'm Rick Spielman, I'm thinking, yeah, if Kirk goes out and throws three interceptions in the first half, or Mike Zimmer's thinking this, yeah, maybe we can put the kid in there, shake things up, and have some success. Kind of like back when we drafted Tommy Kramer in the first round. He came in against San Francisco that day back in the late 70s, and all of a sudden threw three touchdown passes in the fourth quarter, and we beat the 49ers when we were down 21 points or something. So that may be something that a guy like this could do that I don't think that Mannion could have done. And a Nate Stanley or Jake Browning, it's just they probably haven't seen enough to get excited about those guys. And, yeah, I think that Kellen Mond is a potential starter in the future in this league. But you can't say for sure. But one thing we do know, Jim, there have been plenty of quarterbacks drafted after the first round who've had success. The odds may be stacked against them. But, hey, Russell Wilson in the third round in Seattle, Joe Montana in the third round in San Francisco, Dak Prescott in the fourth round in Dallas, and that guy down in Tampa Bay who used to be in New England, that Brady Cat, yeah, he was a sixth-round pick.
Yep.
So it can happen. It's pretty rare. But it can happen. So we'll just see how he develops and see how Quinn Kubiak can work with him.
Last topic, George Payton, the former Vikings executive, waited a long time to be willing to go elsewhere, ends up picking the Denver Broncos. Looks like they have a pretty good roster without a starting quarterback. If you're Payton, how do you play the Rodgers scenario? How much are you willing to give up for an upgrade, even though you're not necessarily bidding against a lot of other teams?
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious it's going to cost him a couple of number ones in the future. And I think Aaron Rodgers is worth that. Can he be a potential headache down the road? Yeah. can you get bored and lose interest and start taking shots at the organization? Yeah. I don't think this whole thing has played out well for Aaron personally. I don't think he looks good in this whole thing, how he's played this with the Packers, and especially with some of the comparisons to Jerry Krause for poor Brian Gutekunst, the GM in Green Bay, which is kind of funny in some respects. Jerry Krause, of course, the GM who Michael Jordan trashed repeatedly over the years. But I think George, he's got to figure it's going to cost a couple of number ones, but I don't think he has to maybe give as much as the Rams gave for Stafford, because there is not that competition level. And also he's going to be absorbing a huge contract and taking that on. And so to me, it's probably a two number ones and perhaps a player. And I think that's worth it for Denver, who's got a fairly talented roster, if they can add a guy of this caliber. And I'm sure that's not going to make Teddy Bridgewater very happy in Denver, or Drew Locke, of course. But I think that George has to do what he has to do, and to appease that fan base, and do something such as John Elway did when he brought Peyton Manning in, and that worked out pretty well.
It did, and the amazing thing about that was, they got some record performances out of Manning, and then they failed in the playoffs. And the year they won the Super Bowl, it was really kind of a running and defense team, and Manning did not have that good a year. But they, as you said, the key thing is they had Elway in the building. Elway has not been good at drafting or developing quarterbacks, but he seems to have a knack for picking future Hall of Famers who might fit into his roster pretty well.
Yeah, he does, and I'm sure George is going to consult with him too. But John doesn't have a real good track record the last 7-8 years or so since Peyton's heyday, in terms of what he's done at the quarterback position. And so I think that he's turned it over to George. It's George's call, and we'll see what shakes out. But they certainly got a quality corner in Surtain from Alabama to step in and help that defense. If they come up with Aaron Rodgers out of the deal, wow, then that's so much the better.
Yeah, good stuff from Jeff. Thank you all for listening. Check out my show, Blocked and Muted. Check out Chin Music with Lavelle Neal, all the shows across the platform. Thanks to our producer, Brandon Morton, and we'll talk to you again next week.